We're going to find out today what the Word of God has to say about wisdom, and what a joy it is to be able to come. I thank you, Dr. Mike, for the kind words. I love how I can just be me, you know. First service, he said, you know, I love it how Pastor Jim says, you know, he just messes up and screws up and makes all these mistakes, and I'm like, keep moving, Mike. Let's, you know. But I know Mike's heart, and I know how much he loves me. And the truth is this: life is difficult. Life can be hard. It can be challenging. But God is good. He's our deliverer, our provider, our savior. And if you lean into Him, you'll never fall short. You'll never fall short. But we have to still press in and gain wisdom in life. So today, I want to continue something that we started last week. Last week, remember, we talked about wisdom, and we talked about graduating to wisdom. Do you remember that? Anybody? It was an impressive message, wasn't it? Yeah, I can tell. Now, we talked about wisdom. We talked about learning what starts with what's right versus what's wrong. That's the beginning. But then we got to graduate to what's wise and what's unwise. And I want to talk to you today about it, just kind of continuing on with that wisdom. What can we learn and how can we apply some more wisdom in our life? Because you're never going to reach a place in life where you say, I have accumulated enough wisdom, I don't need any more. That's not going to happen. We're going to need to know wisdom from above for every situation you go through. About the time, has this ever happened to you? About the time I think I've got everything figured out. About the time I think life's going well. About the time I think I can read Lisa's mind and I got my kids all in order and things are perfect. Before I can say the phrase, finally, it changes. You know what I mean? And you need wisdom for whatever new season you're going into. Well, that's what I want to talk to you about today is wisdom. When I was a kid, I was probably, I'm kind of guessing, I don't remember the age, but about 11 years old. And I was on the backyard with my sister. We got to put a tent up. I don't know if you remember this, Don. We put a tent up in the backyard, and we thought we were all that because we got to sleep in a tent. We thought it was our own little house, and we didn't even think about mom and dad. They're like, finally, the kids are outside. You know, we get the house to ourselves, whatever. And so we're out there having a good time. And then all of a sudden, there's this huge, ginormous bug in the corner of the tent. So I manned up and ran in and got my dad. Because neither of us wanted to touch that bug. She's the big sister. She should take care of it. She says, well, you're the guy. You're supposed to take care of it. I said, I know. Dad will get it. And so I ran in as fast as I could. And you know how sometimes when you get running, you kind of lean in further than your feet can run? You know, and I grabbed the door. And a wise thing to do is move your head before you open the door. But I did not. And I put my head through a glass window. That got my mom and dad's attention. That was kind of an unwise thing to do. It's not like I planned it. It's not like I said, hey, I wonder if this will work. It just happened. I put my head through there, and it put a gash in my forehead. You used to be able to always see this gash that was up there. But as life goes on, it keeps moving on me. So that's a whole other story. I had this gash in my head, and they put a cloth on it. The bleeding wouldn't stop, so they had to take me to the emergency room or to the doctor's up Mercy, I think it was. And while I was there, here's what they did. They laid a piece of paper, you know, cloth, whatever it is, like you do at the dentist, that kind of paper, you know, over your face. And that's the most horrific thing to be 11, and they cover your face because you can't see what's coming. You can hear everything, but you can't see what's coming. And I needed stitches is what the deal was. And so they needed to numb the pain or numb me so I didn't feel the pain. But the first thing was to make sure that there's no infection that's going to take place. They poured this like iodine solution in there. How many of you know that when you have an open wound and you pour some kind of an iodine antiseptic kind of whatever, and it's going to burn? And that's probably part of the reason why they covered my face. And when they put that on there, I screamed like a teenage girl at a Justin Bieber concert. I mean, I was just all over, like, whoa! And I was just hollering. I wanted off that table. But they knew something I didn't know. They knew it was going to hurt. Did they do it because they said, let's watch this kid scream? No. They knew something I didn't know. They knew that the cut that was in my head, if not treated properly, infection could get in there, and that would make life really bad. So we need to make sure that it is treated so that there's no, get the iodine solution so that we can treat this so there's no infection that takes place. This morning, as we talk about wisdom, maybe today it's going to feel a little bit like an iodine solution. Maybe there's going to be a couple words that the Holy Spirit speaks to you, or maybe a word from the Word of God that is read, and you'd be like, oh man, that kind of hits me right there. That's just an iodine prescription because the Lord wants to heal your heart. God never comes to bring pain, does He? No. He never comes, you know, will he break things? Maybe he wants to break things off of you. He wants to break you free from certain things, but he never comes and brings brokenness without bringing healing right behind it. You see, God's word says he's near the brokenhearted. You don't have to look far to find brokenness in this world, do you? No, turn on the news. You'll find it. Just like that. But what about wisdom? How do we gain that? And how do we focus on what's best? We're going to look at Matthew chapter 25, and I'm going to read today. Usually I read to you from New American Standard or New King James, but once a year when I'm doing my devotions, I don't want to make it sound like I'm so holy, I always do my devotions, but when I do them, I try to do one translation and then a different one the next year. And this particular year, I'm doing New Living Translation, and I like the way it worded it there. When it talked about the story in Matthew 25, it talks about 10 bridesmaids who come. It's a parable. It's a story that's being told. How they come with the oil for their lamp because the bridegroom is coming. Now, we all have probably heard the story, but let me read the first part to you, and then I'm gonna pause. It says, "That the kingdom of heaven will be like 10 bridesmaids who took their lamps, went off to meet the bridegroom. 5 of them were foolish, 5 were wise. And the 5 who were foolish didn't take enough olive oil for their lamps, but the other 5 were wise enough to take along extra oil." Now, it goes on to say, just the next few words, when the bridegroom was delayed. Say that with me. When the bridegroom was delayed. How many of you know you're going to experience delays in your life? You know that? You know, this is what we're going to do. If I sell this house, then I can do this house. So I'm going to put it on the market. And if it sells in my time frame, we'll be perfectly fine. But if it doesn't sell in my time frame, I'm going to be in trouble. But I know God is good all the time, and all the time God is good. Let me tell you something. Though that's true, that's not wisdom. Just because God is good all the time and all the time God is good doesn't mean he's your magic eight ball and he's going to sell your house and let you get another one. You get my meaning here? You hear my heart? Okay, so if you're selling your house, I wasn't necessarily talking to you. My point is simply this. We have to make sure that we have wisdom from above because sometimes the bridegroom will be delayed. In other words, what he's saying here is sometimes God will speak and he'll give you his promise, but then we think it's going to come this way, or this is what it's going to look like, or these are the steps it should go through, or this is how I should get the promotion, or I should get it in this time frame, or we should get this car by, you know, and we've got these markers that are out there. And if God doesn't meet them, it's almost like we feel like, well, then God, that must not have been God. We've got to understand what wisdom really is, because sometimes the bridegroom gets delayed, meaning God doesn't always work in our time frame. We work in his. And that's a big difference, right? So we've got to recalibrate. The foolish bridesmaids, they brought just enough oil for their lamps, but the other 5 that were, the foolish ones didn't bring enough oil for their lamps, but the 5 that were wise brought not just enough for them, but extra. And we have to approach wisdom the same way. You and I, we need wisdom not just only from above and for our life. We need it for today. I don't know about you, but sometimes I look at my day and I say, God, if you don't show up, if you don't speak, I don't know what I'm going to do. You know what I'm talking about? That's the wisdom we're talking about. Not some holy anointed, though it is, it's holy, it's anointed, but we're not looking for some weird, spectacular thing to float down on our lap. We're just saying, God, I need to know, do I buy it or don't I? Do I take the job or don't I? Do I lean into that or don't I? Do I agree with that or don't I? And we need to be able to hear the Lord. That means we not only need wisdom for that day, today, but we need to ask for extra wisdom. Wisdom from above, the Bible talks about. Bring extra oil. Here's what it goes on to continue to say in verse 5. It says, when the bridegroom was delayed, they all became drowsy and they fell asleep, the bridesmaids did. And at about midnight, they were aroused by a shout. Look, the bridegroom is coming. Come out and meet him. And all of a sudden, if you read on, you find out the bridesmaids get up. And the 5 that were wise lit their lamps, and the 5 that were foolish ran out of oil, and they did not have enough oil. So they started asking the wise the wise bridesmaids, give us some of your oil. To which they replied, no way, Jose. Go down and get your own. And so they went to get oil, and when they came back, I'm paraphrasing the story for you real quick. When they came back, the doors were shut. The bridegroom, he had already gone in, and they missed out on God's best because they didn't have what they needed in the moment. That's the way it is with wisdom. You need wisdom from above for the moments that you're dealing with now. Because the Bible, and it made the point, you don't know the day nor the hour that God is going to move, show up, show off. You need to be prepared. You need to seek wisdom from above. So how can we plan for that? How can we garner, or how can we gain more wisdom from above? Well, it starts with, and I'm going to give you three ways there, three things to look at in just a moment, but we got to remember that sometimes delays happen in life. Maybe it's the relationship that isn't moving as fast as you want it to, or maybe it's the relationship that's moving faster than you want it to. Maybe it's the job or your commitment that you made, or it's a relationship with your boss, or it's your financial status, whatever it is. I should have gotten the raise by now. Things get delayed. Does that mean God still didn't promise it? Not necessarily. Look at the Bible, because there's examples we can see in there where the kingdom of God was happening, and that's what we're dealing with, is kingdom of God principles here. The kingdom of God was happening, but delays took place. Think of Jairus in the Bible. Do you remember Jairus? He was a guard. He had called upon the Lord, and he said, come to my house. And Jesus was on his way to Jairus' house, and Jesus was delayed. It says that he was on his way to Jairus, it was the centurion's house, and on his way, it says that there were throngs of people around him, and it says that a woman that had an issue of blood, do you remember this story in the Bible? She had some kind of a medical issue. She reached out and touched Jesus's, the hem of his garment, and it says immediately she was healed. And Jesus stopped and said, who touched me? Who touched me? Now, you got to remember there was a whole group of people, and the disciples are like, Jesus, like, everybody is trying to reach out and touch you. And he says, no, I'm not talking about somebody that bumped me in the ribs. I'm not talking about somebody that I rubbed shoulders with. I'm not talking about somebody that flicked me in the earlobe. I'm talking about who was it that touched me with an expectation that they were going to receive a healing. Because I felt power go out of me. Now, this was all on his way to do this other kingdom stuff. And he was delayed. But let me tell you this. God still showed up in that moment. But what if he hadn't stopped in this one? That was kingdom stuff too. My point is simply this. Maybe you're seeking the Lord and you haven't gotten the answer you want right now. Seek wisdom in the midst of your season, because maybe he's just delayed. God has his own timetable. Think of Peter in the Bible. He was on his way to the temple, and as he was heading to the temple, he passed by a man who was lame from birth. You remember that? And he said, silver and gold have I none. Do you remember the rest? But that which I have I give to thee. In the name of Jesus Christ, do what? Rise up and walk. And the man, and then he didn't just tell him, get up and walk. Good day, sir. He reached out, grabbed him, helped him up. And he took care of kingdom business. He was delayed. He was heading to the temple. He was delayed. You look in the Bible, you'll see Jesus on his way when he caught a woman. There was a woman that was caught in adultery. He was on his way doing something else. Caught a woman in adultery, and he said, whoa, stop. He said, listen, you guys are going to stone her and kill her, but let the person that throws the first stone, let that one be the one who has no sin in their life. And we all know the story. They laid down their rocks. See, he was delayed. He was heading somewhere else. So much that even on the cross, he looked over to his side and there's a thief on the cross. He's laying down his life and he takes time, drawing for every breath to answer a thief on the cross. He said, today you will be with me in paradise. There's always delays in life and they're part of kingdom things that God is doing. But wisdom says that in the midst of our lives, when things don't go your way, they will get delayed, but lean into wisdom. I want to tell you today, the three things I want to give you is just, the world has a lot to say. Have you noticed that? Have you noticed that? They don't have a problem telling you what to do, where to go, and how to get there. They will tell you what you should wear. They'll tell you how you should dress, all those things. But the most important question is what does God say? What does God say? The Lord says that we can be wise people, like the five wise bridesmaids, or we can be foolish. We can learn lessons from them. And so I just want to give you three. What the world says, what God says. Number one's this. Write this down. Here's what foolishness says. Foolishness says, it's my way or the highway. That's what foolishness says. It's my way or the highway. Maybe you grew up in a home like this. Maybe it was you or a friend of yours or something. But you grew up in a home where the mom and dad said, my house, my rules. You know what I'm talking about? And the reality is if it is their house, it is their rules. And you got to follow their rules, because if you don't follow their rules, guess what? You don't get to come back to their house. Well, in some regards, God's saying, hey, my house, my rules. And he says, foolishness says when you think it's my way or the highway, you miss the best that God has. Proverbs 12, 15 says this. Actually, let's read this one together. You ready? Nice and loud. Ready? Go. The way of a fool is right in his own eyes. We always think we're right in our own eyes, don't we? I can't tell you how many times I thought I was right, and I would try to prove to everybody, but sometimes at the end of the day, it didn't even really matter. It didn't matter if I was right or wrong. It mattered if I was wise or unwise. There's times when people have challenged me, and I knew I was right, and I wanted to put them in their place, but the Holy Spirit said, don't go there. And I thought, why? I'm right. I got this one. But am I going to exercise wisdom or not? Foolishness says it's my way or the highway. But the opposite of that, or at least wisdom says, be flexible. For God's ways are not always our ways. The world's going to say, do it my way. But God says, no, you need to be flexible and hear the Holy Spirit. You see, you got to understand, sometimes we got to look at it as like a roundabout God. God has a way of when he sees you, he knows what's best. Do you believe that? Okay. So if he knows what's best, we have to trust him. But sometimes God will, if he sees you heading in one direction and you're not ready, you're not prepared, he'll kind of move you around about a little bit. Children of Israel, he could have taken them right from Egypt into the promised land, couldn't he? Could God have done that? Absolutely. Why didn't he? Well, I think after looking at the story and reading it, I think that he looks at the children of Israel and says, you're not ready. You don't have the character that's developed to be able to take the promised land that I've given to you. You've not developed the integrity. You don't have the quality of stewardship. And if I give it to you now, you're going to destroy it. So we're going to take a little detour. And we're going to develop. And we're going to learn together. Sometimes God, the reason for the delay isn't because God wants to keep something from you. It's because the thing that he wants to give you, he wants it to last a lifetime. And so he'll build within you integrity or character. He'll develop that in your life. But you have to be willing to trust him. Foolishness, again, will say, no, you do whatever you want, my way or the highway. But God's way says, no, trust me and be flexible. Because the world's ways aren't going to line up with what I have to say. You know, I talk about wisdom, I seem to talk about Dallas a lot, Dallas, Texas, when Lisa and I were there. I think one of the reasons I do that is because it was the first time, for me, I can say this, I think for Lisa, I know her pretty well, and but we went to Dallas. And though she's moved around when she was a kid, she's never completely moved away from her home, her support, and neither have I. And the two of us left, and all we had was Jesus and each other. Yeah, think about that. Some days were great, some days were not so great, right? Because all I had was Jesus and Lisa, and all she had was Jesus and Jim. And I tell you what, without Jesus, she might have killed me a couple times, you know what I mean? But that's where we learned wisdom. We had each other, and we had to start learning what it meant to seek the Lord, and then when I say seek each other, I mean building that relationship, and that's where we learned some of the best wisdom. I remember being there at Bible college, and we finished Bible college, and we learned all the lessons, we graduated, we're ready to leave, and I said, Lord, I'm ready, let's go, I'm going to take on the world, where do you want to send me? And he went, Clinton, Iowa. And I said, anywhere you want to go, Jesus, you just let me know. And as soon as you speak, I'm gone, baby. And he said, Clinton, Iowa. And I said, so when you're ready, Lord, you tell me. And he said, Clinton, Iowa. I said, any place but Clinton, Iowa. California, Florida, Hawaii. Any place warm, Jesus. And hear my heart. Do you really not like Clinton that? No, I love Clinton with all my heart. I have a passion. The Lord's placed me here. But I didn't want to come back to what others might perceive as easy. I didn't want to come back to something where they said, well, he's coming back because his dad's here, so it's all about that. No, see, I'm not here because this dad called me. I'm here because that dad called me. And that's the truth of it. But you see, I wanted to know that, and I wanted that to be something real. So I thought I had to go out and prove something. But God said, no, wisdom is listen to me and go. Or you can try to go somewhere else. It just might not work out the best. See, we have to be willing to know that God has a plan for us. How many of you would agree that if you're going to deal with people, you need wisdom? Anybody? Okay. How many of you know that if you're going to successfully relate to your husband, ladies, you need wisdom? Preach! Men, how many of you know that we need wisdom in building relationship with our wife? How many of you parents know that you need wisdom in parenting your kids? Yeah. Yeah, some people got a foot up in the air. So, yeah, you need wisdom. See, you do the best you can with what you have, but you've got to be careful not to try to put them in a box or here's the plans I got. I remember when our kids were little, I had to be careful not to make the mistake and say, well, this is what Dre's going to grow up to be and this is what Seth's going to grow up to be. You know, because Seth, especially Seth, Dre, here's what we did every time we go to bed. I loved doing this. I should start doing it again because it'll drive them nuts because they're 21 and 18, but they'd go to bed and I'd come tuck them in and I'd be like, all right, good night, guys. What do you want to be when you grow up? And they would give me like two things. And, you know, they'd always be like, I want to be a librarian. I want to be a doctor. I want to be a baseball player. And I'm like, sounding good, sounding good. Because I'm thinking of how they can take care of dad. That's what I'm thinking of. And, you know, and then there was times where it was like, I want to be a transformer. And I'm like, there's no good paying that. Don't worry about that. But I loved to hear them dream. I want to be a teacher. I think I said a doctor. I heard chiropractor. I've heard dentist. I've heard so many things. But I had to just let them dream and cultivate that. But I can't make plans for them. Because if I did, Seth would be the first one. And he'd be in the top ATP tennis tour, okay? He'd be in the top 10, traveling around the world playing tennis. And I would be going along as his manager / spiritual support, okay? Because you get to travel all around the world all year long watching tennis. And if you get to find out anything about me, I love tennis. I can watch it. I love to play it. You know, I love it. If that didn't work out, Seth could be a pitcher for the Cubs. That was my second choice, okay? But thank God we allow ourselves to be flexible in the presence of God. That's wisdom. That's wisdom. We have to allow ourselves to not put God in a box. Here's the second thing that we need to do. I'm skipping over one of the verses, Isaiah 55. You can go look at that later. But number two, write this down. Foolishness says, it's not my fault. It's not my fault. In other words, we're quick to blame everybody. Foolishness says, I didn't do it. Wasn't me. Whether it's true or not, you know what I'm talking about. That attitude, that motive of your heart, that sometimes cannot be in a right place. Here's what it says in Proverbs 18:2. A fool does not delight in understanding, but only in revealing his own mind. That's the foolishness. We blame others. It's foolish to think that, in other words, the world revolves around you. It'd be foolish to think that. But yet many times, we're not gaining enough wisdom to see that we're blaming others and saying it's their fault or it's their fault. Here's what wisdom says. Write this down. Wisdom says that things do get delayed. Things do get delayed. What do I mean by that? Maybe it's a relationship with a son or a daughter, a mom, a dad, an aunt, an uncle, a grandma, grandpa, I don't know. But maybe the relationship's not good right now. Just because it's not good right now doesn't mean it might not be good later. What matters most is, are you going to seek wisdom in that relationship and do what you know is right? You know, they had that old adage, what would Jesus do? And they kind of used it so much that people kind of, I don't know, think down on it a little bit, but the truth is still there. What would he do? Because we have to have the mind like Christ and have that motive to understand that when things are delayed, are we going to trust the Lord? And are we going to seek wisdom from above when things get difficult? Here's what Timothy it says in 1 Timothy chapter 3. But in case I'm delayed, he wrote, I write so that you will know how one ought to conduct himself in the household of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar, support of truth. In other words, delays will happen. Be flexible. Is God speaking something to you? Did he promise you something and it hasn't come to pass? Be flexible. Wait upon the Lord. The Bible says those that wait upon the Lord, what do? They renew their strength. And so you're going to have to wait. You might as well wait on the right thing. Wait upon the Lord. Do you know the difference, by the way, between a professional and an amateur? You know what the difference is? 5 minutes. 5 minutes. Well, what do you mean by that? On average, most people, that the difference you can see between a professional and an amateur is 5 minutes a day. People become better at what they're doing, whether it's running on a track and developing your high jump technique, those people spend 5 more minutes each day working on that. Or maybe it's going to be 5 minutes studying for a test you'll become better at, and you'll be able to pass with higher grades. 5 more minutes trying to understand how to resolve a problem each day. 5 more minutes working on relationship skills or communication skills. 5 more minutes, that's what makes the difference in the world. It could be just 5 minutes listening to your child talk about how they want to be a transformer when they grow up. 5 minutes. And you start to build that and develop that. At this point, wisdom, when you start giving 5 more minutes and you start seeking the Lord and spending time in his presence, just 5 minutes each day, wisdom starts to get downloaded into your very spirit. And if we're so quick to say it's his fault, it's her fault, it's their fault, we're going to find soon that the common denominator is really us. When we start seeing what's wrong with everyone around us, and you start thinking nothing's wrong with you, usually that's a good indicator that something is going on right here. We have to come to that place and trust the Lord. Here's the last one. Foolishness in this world says this. Foolishness says God moves on my timetable. And that's not the way it works. Psalms 31:15 says, my time is in your hands. Our time, it's in God's hands. And so we move on his timetable. You know, wisdom says this. If the foolishness says God moves on my timetable, wisdom says this. In life, God has veto rights. God can veto that. What do you mean by that, Pastor? Well, we make our plans, but God sees our character flaws. He sees those. And when we're getting too prideful, we start welling up, swelling up like a toad, we get arrogant, get prideful. Sometimes God allows a detour, or sometimes he allows a delay to build something in us that we need, that we don't even know that we need at this moment. I was taking a class at King's College Seminary, and I was taking the class to become a pastor, right? I'm going after my bachelor's, and I had to take this class. Part of the program for the bachelor program was physical science. And I got to tell you, I didn't like that. Now, I have nothing against sciences. I'm interested by it. I like it. But to me, it felt like a detour. It felt like a delay. Why are we doing physical science? This is ministry class. You know, and I started getting kind of an attitude, and I started getting a little bit upset, and I said, this is just stupid. You know, why do I have to take this class? I'm not going to do any electrical connections or electromagnetism. I'm not going to be working on energy and motion. Why do I need this physical science class? And the Lord spoke, and the Lord said this to me. He said, did I tell you to go to Bible college, Jim? And I said, yeah. And he said, do you think that I knew this class existed before you signed up for this? And I said, well, yeah. And I wrote it down because here's what, I never forgot this, or I never wanted to, so that's why I wrote it down. Here's what I heard the Lord say. He said, good. I knew you would take it, even though this class seemed non-strategic. From my perspective, this is God speaking, you must learn submission to things you do not understand. You need to learn organization because that's critical in ministry. I'm just using this class to teach you something else. This class may seem like a delay to you, but to me, it's right on the money. And when God speaks that to you, what do you say? All I could see was physical science, but God saw something much deeper. And the question was I going to allow myself to seek his wisdom, hear his voice in the midst of that? Psalms 115, verse 3 says, but our God is in the heavens, and he does whatever he pleases. He does whatever he pleases. Why are you doing this to me, God? Well, his answer is not, well, because I can, and I'm having fun. His answer is, I do whatever I please, and that which I do for your benefit, because he loves you. You may not understand his ways. You may not understand why this is happening, but it's because God loves you. You remember that awkward age right around the age of 2 when your kids always said, why? Why are clouds in the sky, Daddy? Why is red red? Why do frogs hop? Why do birds fly? Why does food have to be cooked and some doesn't? Why is the carrot orange? Why? And you're like, I don't know. You know, and you just get overwhelmed. But yet many times, the lessons that God wants to teach us, instead of receiving wisdom from above, we want to ask him why all the time. No, there's nothing wrong with that. You can ask him why, because he's the one that ultimately does have the answer. But I'll tell you this, when God brings wisdom to you, sometimes it can feel like an iodine lesson. Like at the beginning, when they poured that antiseptic on me, it may burn a little. It may sting, but there's a purpose behind the sting. There's a purpose behind what God is trying to teach you and me. And we must learn to pack that away into our lives. You know, when I was making my notes, I thought of that. I typed it down. We've got to learn to pack this away in our life. And I think in word pictures. And when I think of packing, I thought of how I pack versus how my wife packs. Some of you know where this is going, don't you? But there's a point to it. I'm not just trying to be humorous. When I pack, let's say it's a 5-day trip, I'm going to have, if I can get away with it, 2 pair of pants. I'm just being real with y'all. 5 shirts. all the under necessities, let's just leave it at that. And toiletries, just enough to shave my face and put some deodorant on. I'll make sure that there's cologne, at least 3 bottles in there. And I'll have a pair of shoes, 2 if I have to, but I really don't want to. And then I'll look over to my beautiful wife, and I'll watch her pack. 5 days, not 5 months. And I give her a hard time. Because, you know, the same 5-day trip, 5 pants, 5 skirts, 5 blouses, 7 scarves, 12 pairs of shoes. I mean, partridge in the pear tree, we got the whole thing going on, right? And then there's the infirmary. You know what I'm talking about? You pack just in case this happens, but it happens every time. So I've learned not, and I'm not making fun of it. I'm laughing and using the story, but I learned not to make fun of this anymore because sure as the world, we go on a trip. I cut my finger. Oh, I cut my finger. She'd be like, bam, there's a Band-Aid. Out of her suitcase, just out of the blue. There it is. Well, thank you. She'd be like, yeah, out of my suitcase, the one that you were making fun of, the one that you said we wouldn't need. Here's your Band-Aid. And I'd be like, thank you. Take my Band-Aid, put it on. Or let's say it was something else. We got sunburned. Like, oh, man, I was out in the sun too long. We didn't bring sunscreen. Bam, there's a sunscreen. She pulls that out. We got sunscreen. I mean, everything. You know, I cut my arm off. Bam, there's sutures and a needle. Sew it back on yourself. What's my point? When it comes to wisdom, we need to pack more like my wife, more than we pack like I do. You get what I'm saying? We need to pack away and say, Lord, may we never just be content to say, I need enough oil or wisdom for when the bridegroom comes, the way I expect him to come on my timetable. May we pack more like my wife does and say, Lord, give me wisdom for this day. Give me wisdom for that which I don't even know is coming down the pike. Lord, give me wisdom for this evening, for those people that may cross my path and I'm not going to know what to say in that moment. Lord, give me wisdom as I sleep. Lord, give me wisdom for the next day, the next week, the next month, the next year. Lord, give me wisdom from above. And God says, if you ask, seek, and knock, what does he do? He answers. He opens the door. He responds to you and me. So today, my challenge is simply this. When you leave here today, I challenge you to ask one question of the Lord, just one, for this week. Lord, what's the next wisest thing you want me to do? What's the next wisest thing? Now, this is kind of like point one, sub A. Then do it. Because I've asked the Lord many times, Lord, what's the next wisest thing I could do? And he could say, ask your wife for forgiveness. And I'd say, thanks for telling me. And then I wouldn't want to go do it. You see, if the Lord speaks to you, it's not going to be very effective unless you do what it is that the Lord spoke. Amen? So my challenge is, ask the Lord, what's the next wisest thing that you want to deposit in my life so I can become more like you? Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you for this day. I pray today that as we leave this place, even earlier as we talked about the altar, Lord, may we not come to the altar and leave the same way, but leave differently. Lord, may we come into your presence today and realize that coming to church isn't just about coming in and checking off a box so that you're impressed that we showed up at church. Lord, we're asking, Lord, that as we become the church and gather together, that you would develop and cultivate within us wisdom. So Jesus, we're asking for that. I pray today that you would deposit within our very own hearts wisdom. I want to simply ask this, with every head bowed, every eye closed, one of the wisest choices you could ever make, and I would be a fool not to ask this, is are you here and you do not have a relationship with Jesus? And you want one, you're going to have that opportunity right now. I'm not going to embarrass you. I'm not going to call you out. The Bible just says simply this, that when you know the Lord's tugging on your heart and you respond and say, yes, that's me, Jesus. I want you to come into my heart and forgive me of my sins. He says, he does it like that. And he wipes everything out in the past. And behold, all things become new. Are you here today? And the Lord is tugging on your heart. You're wanting to make it right. You want to know that this day, Jesus is in your heart. While everyone's head bowed, eyes are closed, just raise your hand and say, that's me, so that I can agree with you in prayer. I see your hand. God sees your heart. Receive that today. It doesn't matter where you've been. It doesn't matter what you've done. He says, all that stuff gone. Everything's brand new. That love, that forgiveness, it's there. Is there any other hearts here today? You say, Pastor, that's me. I want to make that decision today so that I know that I know that I know. I'll wait for just a moment. If that's you, just simply raise your hand. Okay. I agree with you. God sees your hand and your heart. Receive that today and know that he develops within you that new heart, that new relationship. In Jesus' name. Any other hearts? Any other hearts? I'll wait for just a moment. Okay. And Father, I ask today that you will take what we've heard. Lord, this hasn't been a message that Pastor Jim spoke, so we got to tell him it's good. Lord, this is something from your Holy Spirit that you're wanting to massage into our lives. Help us to become wiser, more compassionate, more kind. Lord, help us to become more like you. We ask in your name. Amen. Amen, church.